FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 12/13/18, just 18 more days left to end this glorious year. And as always, we want you to be part of the show, so email us at kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, unemployment numbers been peaking for quite a while. They're at generational lows. We're talking about new claims for unemployment insurance. We're talking about new jobs added, and looks like we're hitting a rough patch. Well, is it the sign of an incoming or impending recession, or does not one or two months a cycle make? Well, our good friend Sam McElroy is with us now to cover the latest statistics. Sam, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
So, where are we here? Is this it? Is this all? It just doesn't get any better from here, and now we're heading to recession. I mean, what's your take on it?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say, and it really is true what you said a couple of minutes ago, that, you know, we always have to be careful not to extrapolate trends from a couple different data points. So it's definitely interesting, just because, you know, all of last year and this year and really even previous years, we've been seeing steady compounding growth. We've been seeing unemployment go down, jobless claims looking good, and all of that as well. And at a certain point, there's always going to be different resistance levels. I mean, it's true with really any metric you can look at. So it's something to kind of look at, because in a sense, the question always does come, okay, this along with other data points, does it suggest that there's a trend somewhere happening? But we're not there yet. You know, we can't make a conclusive prediction that based off of that, you know, things are starting to swing the other direction, and all of a sudden now we're going to go back into, you know, a recession or massive job losses or anything like that.
Yeah, so maybe we're just hitting a little bit of what you would call a intermediate plateau. We could go higher, we could go lower from here.
Yeah, I think that what it means is that some of the steam and some of the momentum that had been driving us in one direction has really had its impact felt in the economy. And we could go higher, we could go lower, we could stay where we are for a little while. But the expectation that we're going to see dramatic month-over-month changes, quarter-over-quarter changes, the way that we did throughout most of this year, probably isn't the expectation anymore.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. So
yeah, and I think there's a couple other pieces that's starting to emerge now also. I was reading an article, I forget what day, I think yesterday or the day before, and it was from a research group that was basically interviewing or surveying CFOs from a lot of U.S. corporations, trying to see just what their trends were and what their planning was. Now, I'm always very careful with this, because I don't ever want to paint doom and gloom. I prefer not to interject fear and where fear is not needed. But one of the things that was really interesting was that a lot of CFOs and corporations in the United States were actually saying that they're anticipating that there may be the emergence of a recession, or the very tips of it, by 2020. And some of them were even acting proactively in terms of, you know, closing down plants or shops or doing other things defensively in return for that. So I'm starting to look at some of that information and let that weigh in a little bit also. But I don't think we're at the point right now where, you know, we need to have a fear that we're going to be back where we were in 08, 09 or anything like that.
Okay. So, you know, like nobody thought Trump could keep the so-called expansion going as long as he did. And in large measure, it was due to his policies, the tax cut, regulatory rollback, just being the cheerleader, renegotiation of trade deals. I mean, this recession has more lives than a feline on steroids here, you know? So can he pull a rabbit out of the hat and keep it going a little longer? I mean, he is the master of illusion, whether it's a good illusion or a bad illusion, it's illusion nonetheless. Is he capable of it? Can it be done?
Well, maybe not. You know, I think one of the things, again, that we want to be careful of is trying to put it all on his shoulders or all on his administration. You know, we're talking about major trends and factors, socio-demographic trends, global emergences and things that are happening that, as good or bad as anyone may be, they just don't have that level of control to orchestrate everything perfectly. That doesn't mean that there is an influence, there is an impact, but it's not like any one person can just take the reins and make something happen when it's been brewing for years or longer. So I think one of the things we have to look at is there are a lot of things that are being juggled right now that we just haven't seen where they've fallen. There's things happening not just domestically, but globally. You know, we're now starting to see more talk, more information about Brexit, some certain things that are happening there. We saw some things kind of happen with OPEC, I want to say maybe a couple of weeks ago or a month ago. We have trade deals, we have tariffs, we have renegotiations of a lot of different things that are going on. And one of the things is that simultaneously, we have the Fed that's unraveling quantitative easing. We have the Fed that's working to actually raise interest rates amidst what some people believe is an overvalued market. So I don't know, at least in the time that I've been doing this, that we've ever seen so many unknown variables all up in the air at the same time. And for anyone to be able to say that that they have their hands wrapped around all this and know kind of what's going to happen, I just don't think so. I think that we can use best guess and try to say, well, here's what may happen if the shoe falls on this side or the other. But by and large, I feel like we're all in a bit of a wait and see standpoint, just what's going to actually win out from an economic standpoint and what the longer term ripple effects of that are then going to be. You know, we're in a sense, we're moving into a bit of a new reality. And I don't know that any of us can extrapolate historical trends into today's current economic environment and say, well, here's how that ought to happen then.
Yeah. Well, one thing I do find interesting, Sam, is that a lot of the headwinds in the economy are self-imposed: environmental regulation, safety, climate change, whatever your viewpoint may be on that, and everyone knows ours. But the point is that he's just taken away. So maybe there's another headwind in the economy you're not aware of, that if he pulls that one off, he could get another couple percent and keep the expansion going for a while longer.
Yeah, I think that there's a couple of paths forward for that to happen. But I feel like one of the things that we want to be conscious of is to what degree we manipulate markets. And here's what I mean by that. I think if you look at the, and I don't want to say the economy, but let's say the stock market, for example. Mm-hmm. I think that if you look at really long trends and you go back to the 1800s, you find that the market runs in roughly about a 35-year cycle.
Right.
Some of that is really volatile periods where we're just bouncing around. Some of that is really long, prolonged growth. And we kind of move back and forth. And historically, despite our best efforts, there really hasn't been much that we could do that really stops some of these broader trends. It's almost like the tide in the sense in the ocean, that in order for it to create an equilibrium, it has to be free to ebb and flow. And you can have a period, have say like a hurricane come in that creates a tidal surge that prevents the tide from being able to flow back out, but it's always going to be temporary. At a certain point, just the law of nature, so to speak, is going to win out. And I feel like sometimes that really happens in the market, where the market, just by the way that it works, prices tend to outrun earnings in a really good expansive period. And when that happens, we need a bit of a contraction to make fundamental sense again. So while it's never fun riding the roller coaster, this process of expanding and contracting and expanding and contracting is one of the ways that the market seeks equilibrium and keeps a relative health. I think that when we get too nervous to experience contractory purposes and we start creating policies to manipulate growth where there isn't growth, we sometimes end up creating bubbles in a sense and making the ripple effects almost worse for us sometimes. And that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be prudent to try to soften the blow, to try to keep us moving, always mm-hmm. progressively, always gaining ground. But I think that at a certain point, we need to just recognize where we are in terms of the economy, in terms of our population demographics, in terms of where people are spending money, what's happening globally, and doing everything we can to keep ourselves strong and keeping ourselves moving forward. I think we want to make sure that we're not creating through monetary policies something that works temporarily, but then makes it worse further on down the road.
Well, let's just say hypothetically, and this is a ridiculous thought, but let's say they decided to do it, where we just said, all right, we're tired of worrying about taxes and everything else. We're just going to print the money up. We're not going to charge any taxes at all. We're just going to basically inflate the currency to make up for whatever the government spends. What would happen there?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimen Sakkari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
I think there's a lot of ripple effects. The first one is anytime you inflate currency, have cheap dollars, increase access to capital, I think you breed an environment that creates hyperinflation. If there's so much cash flow and so much money that all of us used to have $1, but now all of us have $10, then my $10 isn't worth quite as much. You know, it's this idea that you can't make something out of nothing. You need something to have to some degree an intrinsic value, or you negate the whole principle of supply and demand. I mean, the reason, going really basic, that basic economics, the way that we practice it, works in a free market is because everybody can't be a billionaire or a millionaire. Everybody can't have resources because resources are at some point finite. So you can't really take resources and try to just, as much as we want to and as altruistic as we want to be, it doesn't work. We've seen this from communism, socialism, other things like that. You can't just have people that are trying to manage an economy because there's so much data points. When you're trying to decide where a natural resource is best utilized for its highest, most valuable use, it depends on so many different variables. And I can come in and say, well, I'm going to take this wood and we need a lot of pencils. And so I'm going to make that, and I'm going to build all these pencils. And then things change. And, you know, instead of using the wood for pencils, we need to use the wood to construct houses. For a person to try to do that, it's really impossible. And the incentive makes them basically have a lot of waste. But if the market itself is what's determining where people are willing to spend their money because that resource is finite, and the market itself governs where things are used and what goods are promoted, what goods are not promoted, what businesses succeed and which ones fail. Right. So if we come into a situation where we say, you know what, we're going to start to take that away and we're basically just going to make up the difference and we're just going to put capital in the marketplace to make it all work, then I think you really mess around with economics at its most basic fundamental principles. And the ripple effects is basically that you end up with an economy that isn't self-sustaining. It can't replicate itself and continue and develop.
Yeah, well, I only ask because what is the proper tax rate? Nobody can come up with that answer. But it seems like every time they cut the tax rate, the economy gets better. And then over time, the tax rate gravitates higher. And then the economy gets worse. Now, I don't know if that's part of a cycle or not, but taxes, the power to tax is the power to destroy, as Judge Learned Hand said so eloquently over 100 years ago. And they've been doing it. Congress has been wielding that power of math to destroy no greater destroyer of wealth on the planet than government. And so obviously there are certain things that government must do unless you're have a government. But like most of us, you probably believe, and certainly
believe that the government is either the most and basically the
it is Christmas time. You know, the holidays are here, so maybe Santa will come and visit us in the form of another tax cut. Although that looks doubtful now. Never say one thing I've learned in life, Sam, and I'm sure you've learned it too, is never say never. So we're looking ahead. Odds of a recession, what are you judging? Especially if it appears like what we're seeing now, that the Fed is going to pull back, and who knows if they'll even increase rates this month or not.
Yeah, it's hard to say because I don't want to incite panic. If I had to make a wager, I think it's more likely than not that we do get back into a recession. Mm-hmm. My hopes are that if we do, that it's short-lived and that it's not a severe recession that results in massive layoffs, but more so just the garden variety pullback from an economic standpoint that things have slowed to some degree.
Yeah, and those big recessions only come along every so often, perhaps every 80 years. Because look, 29 was the last, that was the Great Depression last 10 years. And then in 2009, 2008, so 80 years later, we have deja vu all over. Yeah, well, that remains to be seen. The financial system is not in the great shape that it once was. The U.S. economy isn't either. The government running these deficits, whatever stuff that debt. Anyway, Sam, we're going to let you go now, but just tell us, where can we go look for you? Where do we find you on the web?
Yeah, so the easiest place is just www.atfinancial.com. And we usually have a lot of good information on that website.
All right. Hey, appreciate you coming on. And like we said, got a question for Sam, myself, email us kl@carrylutz.com. If you are watching on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share. That really helps us a lot. We got close to 6,000 subscribers. I haven't checked lately. And we're really going up there. Twitter feed @CarrieLutz and Facebook page Financial Survival Network. Hey, we're on a new podcast server. It looks like it's getting better. I know I had some complaints about sound. I'm working on that. If you think the sound's okay, let me know. If you think that it isn't, definitely let me know. I'm tweaking it. Sounds okay to me now, but you're the ultimate judge. Sam, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll talk to you next year.
You as well. Sounds good.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.